Virginia's Anderson slings left wing to Brogdon. Now left to the lane, it's Toby. He's trying to post up, spins on Harrell, and kisses it in. Off the window with a jump hook and a foul. Mike Toby, he's on fire.
How about Mike Toby? All right, this is Who's Talking. Frank and Hobbo and Chris Sill is back in the house. And I neglected to thank Walt and Nancy for all their hospitality down in Chapel Hill. Thank you, guys. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate everything. Hobbo had some people he wants to thank.
Yeah, while you were in Chapel Hill, the one person I wanted to thank was our friend Terry Gates. He came in last Monday night, was invaluable in assisting Hobbo here in the studio, and he came in on last-minute notice. I called him during the day on Monday, so he didn't have much advance notice. And the only other thing I was going to mention, I said something last week about the passing of Barry Koval, but the memorial service Saturday, extremely impressive. The turnout was remarkable. Barry Koval, clearly an individual that was highly regarded, not only by his workmates at Hunt and Williams, but throughout the Richmond metropolitan area and also the athletic department. Craig Littlepage was there. Dirk Kachter was there. Barry Parkhill, among others. So,
Barry Koval, terrific guy.
Terrific
he will
guy.
Be missed.
Absolutely. But anyway, speaking of a terrific guy, we got Ted Jeffries on the line. We'll go back to talking a little hoop here.
Well, Big Ted was the quite a rebounder and scorer down low with that deft left-hand touch. He played from 1990 to 93 for the Cavaliers. He is now in his fourth year, we believe, as UVA radio analyst. And Big Ted, welcome back to Who's Talking.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Let me first also send out my condolences to the Koval family, Barry Koval. I got a chance to know him while I was working with the VAF there at UVA. And what an incredible guy. This is new to me. I'm sorry. I'm just hearing about this. But I'm sure he'll be missed by his family. But my condolences to them as well.
Well, thank you, Ted. I'm sure they appreciate that as well. All right, Justin Anderson going to be missing at least for a few weeks. What does that mean to the basketball team?
Well, I think it's next man up. Obviously, it's a huge loss when you lose your leading scorer at the time. Justin means a lot to this program. Obviously, going into Louisville, he was shooting 48% from the 3-point line. That means a lot for this program, not to mention the toughness that he brought to this team and athleticism. You know, that's going to be sorely missed. But the luxury that UVA has is that they are a very deep program. They've got a lot of players that can step up and by committee contribute to this program and help make up for what Justin will be sorely missed for.
Let's talk about that committee now that you bring it up. We touched on it earlier with Jason Williford. Clearly, Toby had an excellent start to the game the other night and showed some flashes, really, of what I had hoped he would do more often. Mariel Shayok seemed almost to be an afterthought in recent games, but he clearly has an outside shot. Evan Nolte made a big shot from almost the top of the key extended. And Isaiah Wilkins has shown a propensity to put the ball in the hoop. And Devin Hall has some athleticism. So how do they do this, Ted?
Yeah, there's going to be opportunities for guys. The great thing, again, there's a deep team. The offense works. You've still got some very integral parts of this team that are there. London Parenthis and then Malcolm Brogdon coming off the bench. If you get the action that UVA likes to get in their offensive sets, and with good ball movement, penetration, and kick, playing inside outside as they like to do, they always say side top side. You move the ball around the perimeter, opportunities will be there for Mariel Shayok, obviously Evan Nolte, maybe even the rarely used Devin Hall will get an opportunity as well. And then, other guys will hunt their shots a little bit more and probably see a few more shots taken by London to get a chance to stroke it from beyond three. And then if you're playing inside out, the big guys, the guy who's probably not talked about enough, in my opinion, is Darian Atkins, and what a great job he's been doing this season. His senior campaign, the lone senior, has really been consistent. And that's the one thing. You talk about a guy showing flashes. he's been somewhat of an enigma throughout his career. You see splashes of excellence, and then he disappears on you. But he's been counted on time in and time out this year, and he's really showed up for this team. So, you know, I think that the opportunities are plentiful for anybody on this team, and nobody really has to feel like they're going to be the next heir apparent to fill Justin's shoes. It's just, you know, continue to go through the offense, find the opportunities where they are, and they will appear. It's just, can those people knock them down, whoever that person is?
Yeah, I agree with you. Darian Atkins, of course, he really is a presence on the defensive end, not only on the glass, but defensively, some block shots. But the thing that has really impressed me this year is his shot selection seems to be much, much improved. There have been times in the past where he's taken some shots that I didn't think were necessarily the number one option for the offense on that end, but he seems to have learned what is a good shot for him in Tony's offense. But the other thing I was going to, and I think you're right about London, he may have to be a little more aggressive looking for his shot, particularly from the perimeter. The guy that might emerge from this, in my opinion, is Evan Nolte, because he might, you know, he's going to get more minutes. Hopefully that'll get him in the flow of the game, allow him to let the game come to him to some extent. And when he has those opportunities, maybe he won't feel quite as much pressure to knock down the shot to stay in the game.
Well, exactly. I mean, the great thing, two things. Obviously, Evan's an upperclassman. He's been in the program for a while. He, you know, we've seen the flashes of greatness from him as well. He, you know, when he pretty much kept UVA out of Peril's way last year in the NCAA tournament, when he knocked down the big shots against Coastal Carolina, he became known as a three-point shooter then, and that's what they were looking for from this young man as he came into the program, his versatility. But he also has a great basketball IQ. He knows the game. He knows positioning. You know, he sometimes gets caught out of position when he's having to guard a stronger player on the post because of his versatility. And then sometimes against quicker guys, he gets caught. So he's in that no man. He's a true tweener. And, you know, he can improve defensively, laterally, and then also, you know, he can get better positionally on the interior when he has to guard bigger guys. But nonetheless, the guy is very serviceable, can give you some solid minutes, hit some big shots for you. And then if things are not working, again, next man up, you rotate in, you got a super frosh. When you talk about Mario Shayok, obviously he's kind of gone into a little bit of a decline from his performance we've seen in the last few games, but that's not uncommon for a freshman. You know, this is the ACC, probably the best conference in the country, and some guys are going to hit the wall. Some guys are going to find themselves in a little bit of a mental slump. But nothing like an opportunity, a window open up, a door open up to give you an opportunity to go out there and show and prove and do what you know that you can do.
We are speaking with Ted Jeffries, UVA radio analyst. Ted, curious about a couple things. Number one, the Cavaliers are traveling down to NC State on Wednesday night. You got to see the danger that team poses when Virginia sort of scrapped with NC State earlier in the year, and I'm looking up the score right now. It was much closer than I think most people thought.
About a 10-point game, as I recall.
But much of the game was closer than that. And there were times where it was 61-51 was the final, but much of the game, NC State was just throwing in bombs from everywhere. Talk about going on the road again so quickly after such a big emotional packed JPJ game as the Louisville game on Saturday night presented, and then going on the road now to Raleigh.
Well, you know, you talk about that NC State game, and we've been spoiled by this Virginia team in the last two seasons because they've shown us, you know, stifling defenses, and we've seen how they've held teams to low percentages and points. And then you get NC State that comes in, know they have the number two team in the country at the time, in their radars, and they're at UVA, and they want to get a win. So, you know, of course, they were shooting the ball lights out. I think they had gotten up to like a 9 or 10-point lead early in the first half and really had this, you know, everyone on panic. Well, not panic, but, you know, there was some reason for concern that UVA was going to be in for a tough night. Now, multiply that by tenfold going down to NC State. You know, the scenario is still the same. UVA is back in the number two spot. They're going to get everybody's number one shot, and it's going to be a situation where they're going to have to guard shooters. They're going to have to to make sure that they're contesting those long-range shooters that are out there for NC State, and they can knock it down with proficiency. So it's going to be one contested shot, and they're going to continue to do the great job on the boards and obviously limiting fast break opportunities because they will look to get out and run as well.
You know, though, and I think you're absolutely – there are a couple of numbers that just startle me, to be honest with you. Since last January 1st, Virginia is 42-4. And we're 12-2 in ACC road games, which again is mind boggling to me because the line always used to be win your games at home and try to figure out a way to steal two or three on the road and you're going to be in contention for the conference championship. And, you know, Virginia's going on the road, and you know this year they're perfect on the road, which is unbelievable. But you know the one guy that, even though he gets so much in the way of accolades, that I still think is just an amazing player is Malcolm Brogdon. Talk a little bit about Malcolm and how much he means to this team.
Well, Malcolm is, you know, a lot of the heart and soul that is this program. Malcolm, he exemplifies, you know, toughness. He exemplifies leadership. You know, he goes out and he does. He's no nonsense when he gets on the court. He's all about business. He finds a way to make things happen. And, you know, he just takes control of the game. I remember earlier in his career, when he was a freshman, and I asked the coaching staff who had the ability to kind of put this team on his back, and who had the ability to kind of be a leader in his first year. And to a man, most of the people said Malcolm has those characteristics. And, you know, it's obvious, you know, by his play throughout the year, to be able to come back to such a tragic, not tragic, but, you know, tough injury. That's a very serious foot injury that he had. And he came back and to make first team all conference. Yeah, you know, the kid is strong. I mean, literally and physically, you know, just strong. And it means a lot to this program.
Isn't he really the front runner for ACC Player of the Year ahead of Duke's freshman big man?
I don't know about that. You know, a lot of people out there love Duke. And, you know, let's face it, the kid is averaging close to a double-double. As a freshman, if he's not at a double-double, I haven't checked the statistics lately. He's probably going to be the first person taken in the draft if he decides to go. And, you know, I think they would probably lean in that direction. But it's clear for this program, outside of Justin, what he's done as a leading scorer, Malcolm is definitely the MVP of this program, in my opinion.
You know, the end of the Louisville game, Malcolm brought the ball up against the press almost the entire game, not Parentes,
right?
The true point guard. He was the one that kept spotting open as an outlet throughout the half-court pressure, and then he made all the free throws but one. And the only time he missed it is when the guy from ESPN, you know, was touting how many free throws he'd made in a row, and you know, it's the old hex, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm gonna say right now that I think if Malcolm Brogdon keeps this up and Virginia holds serve in these home games and can win the games they're supposed to win on the road against the lower-ranked teams, I think Virginia needs to start beating the drum and put some posters up and praise him because, quite honestly, Malcolm Brogdon is a do-it-all star. He does everything.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, he's in the conversation for sure. You know, you've got to look at him as a you know, obviously potentially another first ACC first team award winner at the end of the year, and he should be in the conversation for Player of the Year. Whether or not they grant it to him, you know, I don't know if Malcolm is worried about that, but I think he should be discussed for it. And Javo, the point that you made earlier about the record, think about this. This is a team, although they've had some players of the year in their particular state, there's no McDonald's All-Americans on this team. And to boast the record that you just talked about, that's incredible to think about in comparison to all the other programs that are out there that brag about the 9, 10, 5, 6, whatever, you know, the scenario may be. This program is doing it without it, and they are – as impressive as a program that you'll see in college basketball right now.
Well, it's the consistency, and you know, to me, 42-4 since last January 1st against the level of competition that Virginia's playing, is just an unbelievable tribute to the staff and the team and the consistency with which they've performed. And, you know, I always joke with people, you know, if you look at Kentucky, Duke, and Virginia, between them they have 18 McDonald's All-Americans. Kentucky has 9, Duke has 9, Virginia has none.
Exactly.
But yet we're hanging in there and playing pretty well. So, you know, I'd like to play Kentucky before it's all said and done, but that's somewhere down the road. Just real quick, tough road to host. State Wednesday, Wake Saturday, Pitt on Monday. So 3 games in a short span.
Well, it's the ACC. You know, you remember it all too well. I mean, you know, every night is a potential loss. And if you're not coming out there ready to play, you got to go on the road. You got to win on the road. You got to win at home. But this team is ready. And then they're confident and they're playing strong. And they know that they're going to get everybody's best shot. They go out there and put the best effort forward. They're thankful. They follow the 5 pillars and they follow the leadership of their staff, starting with the head man, Tony Bennett.
Well, Ted, we thank you as always. Keep it rolling, buddy, and we know we got you scheduled for future shows. So we thank you as always for joining us tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always fun.
All right, former basketball player and radio analyst Ted Jeffries. We're going to break. When we return, we got Dr. Jody Smith going to join us to talk a little bit about Justin Anderson's injury, plus the Olympic report from Chris Sill. Stay tuned.